fourth quarterly community safety meeting of the year. I'm Megan Drake. I'm in the crime prevention unit here at the River Forest Police Department. We are doing this in person and via Zoom, so published slides and video recording of the meeting, it will be made available after the live presentation. First, we will begin by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Great. Thank you, everyone. And now, before we begin the presentations, we are going to have a word from our Chief of Police, Jim O'Shea.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Police Chief Jim O'Shea, a 30-year veteran of the department here, and I want to just really welcome you tonight to the fourth quarter Village of River Forest Police Department Community Safety Meeting. Thanks to all that are watching on online tonight, and also that are in our audience. Before I introduce and go through our agenda, I just want to talk about a couple topics that are top of mind for us here. One is bicycle safety. We've seen some great improvements out there with not only our youth, but also our young adults and older adults out there utilizing helmets. We've had a couple accidents over the past several months with some of our teenagers and riding bikes. And luckily, they were wearing helmets. In fact, at one of the accidents, I was present and inspected the helmet. And if that individual wasn't wearing a helmet, the outcome would have been tragic. So thank you, parents, and thank you, youngsters out there, for utilizing those helmets. Also, you've noticed now we're sort of at that time of the year where it's dark in the morning when you're getting everyone ready to go to work, go to school. And also at night now, it's getting darker earlier. And what we'd ask with that is start slowing down a little bit. Start watching a little bit closer for pedestrians and bicyclists crossing the streets. And also with leaves in the street, it makes it a lot more slippery to drive on said streets, even when there's no rain. So please monitor your speeds and keep an eye out for others that are on the roadway. Lastly, I just want to make sure you stick around for Crime Prevention Officer Megan Drake's presentation tonight. And she's going to tell you where you can get one of our amazing Halloween bags for the kids or adults for trick-or-treating this year, and also a River Forest Police safety light. And Officer Drake will share that with you this evening. On our agenda this evening, first off, we're going to have from the Oak Park River Forest Township Youth and Family Services, Megan Trapicano, who's the director. We're also going to have Once Upon Some Messy Fun with Tracy Patton, who's a child development owner. And we'll also hear from Megan Drake, crime prevention officer. She's going to talk about holiday shopping safety, fraud and scams. And we're going to hear from Detective Sergeant Justin Labriola, and he's going to go over some crime trends and statistics. As always, we're always available at the end of the meeting to answer any questions. And if we can't get you an answer quickly, we will get you one the next day in a follow-up email or phone conversation. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Director Megan Trafficano to the podium.
Are you going to be controlling it?
Oh, it should be quicker.
Where is it? Is this it?
Yes.
Down six. Okay. Hi, good evening. I'm Megan Trafficano. I'm the Director of Youth and Family Services for Oak Park and River Forest Townships. I'm just going to be taking everybody through, hopefully, a quick presentation on the various services that we provide for youth and families in the communities. First of all, just our mission statement. I don't think I really need to read it out loud. But just basically says that we provide programs and direct services that address youth through the implementation of mental health therapy, resources, restorative justice practices, prevention services, resources, group facilitation, trainings, and also community collaboration. This is a rundown of our programs. First, we have our youth engagement program, Girls on the Rise, Community Justice, our Youth and Family Hygiene Closet, our contracted programs, and our financial aid scholarships, and finally, our annual school supply drive and back to school social. I'll be going into each of these programs a little more in depth. One of our biggest programs is our youth engagement program. This is the program that provides free mental health services to youth in the community. We usually work with youth around anxiety and depression, crisis and trauma, behavioral issues, and also gang involvement. We serve youth ages 6 through 18 years old or until they're done with high school. You must be an Oak Park or River Forest resident or attend school in the Oak Park or River Forest area to receive these services. It's a short-term program with goal setting and completion is the goal. Short-term for us means about 6 months to a year. We're hoping to go in, stabilize whatever crisis is going on with the youth or the family, and then get them either to the right other community resource or the crisis is stabilized and they're able to roll off our caseload because they're doing wonderful. We also help fill in gaps in between waitlists, such as our community counseling center, Thrive. So if there's ever a waitlist in progress, we can take youth in the interim until that spot opens up. And then we will transition that child over to the long-term therapist. We also offer an 8 to 12 week mentoring curriculum. This is a curriculum that focuses on executive functioning skills and life skills with youth. So it's not necessarily youth who need mental health services, but just maybe need a little extra support at the time. All of our staff in this program are master's level social workers working on clinical supervision hours to obtain their licensed clinical social worker status. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, as is our program manager in the UP program. Laura Devitt is her name. And then we have two master's level social workers. One has finished her clinical supervision hours and will be taking her LCSW exam soon. And the other one is about 6 months away. We also have master's level social work interns as well every single year. Girls on the Rise is a custom group curriculum specifically for Black and Brown girls. It focuses on self-esteem, self-advocacy, life skills, and communication skills, but all through a cultural perspective. This program is actually embedded in District 90 middle school and in both the elementary schools, brand new this year, serving third and fourth grade girls. So in River Forest, we serve girls third through eighth grade in this program. We're also embedded in District 97 in Oak Park in their middle schools and in two of their elementary schools. Another big program of ours is community justice. We actually work with adjudication here at the Village of River Forest. So if a youth violates a local ordinance, they can go through local adjudication, which means that they do not enter the juvenile justice system. Instead, they come to adjudication court here at the village. And our community justice manager, if the judge so chooses, can assign them to complete hours with us. Our hours are a combination of community service, and then we also have specialized custom curriculums for youth. So we offer substance use assessments if a youth is violating a local ordinance, such as having cannabis or at a party. We can do a substance use assessment. We have curriculums around cannabis, vaping, and alcohol. We also have a decision-making curriculum. Our community justice manager is trained in restorative justice, so we can also offer peer mediation. We can offer restorative circles. And we also have on that staff a CADC, which is a certified alcohol and drug counselor. So in addition to her doing the assessments if needed, she can also provide prevention education, and she can also provide some light individual substance use counseling as well, if that is needed with the youth. Currently, we are also now working in this program. What we've noticed is a lot of our high school aged youth are violating local ordinances because they have too much time on their hands. So we are working on a job skills and training program. We've done it with several youth. I think about five who've come through adjudication, and all five of them have actually received jobs from going through this program with our community justice manager. So now we want to open it up and offer it to youth outside of the program as well. We also have a youth and family hygiene closet, pretty self-explanatory. It's at Oak Park Township. That's where it lives. But we get donations through the community, and youth and families can come pick up whatever hygiene products they want free of charge. We also have two satellite locations, one at Brooks Middle School in Oak Park and one at the Oak Park Public Library. So those are more anonymous closets. We keep them fully stocked and kids can just go into a cabinet or a bookshelf and pick up what they need. We also, anybody can call us. Our staff are out in the communities at all times, so we can drop things off at homes. If needed, people can walk in and just request hygiene supplies. Contracted programs. Each year, the department also offers a small grant for other youth programs. So actually, I think they just changed their name, but the River Forest Police Department has been a recipient of this funding for their iSearch program. Is that changed? It's not River Forest Community Safety. And what we do is we fund other youth programs, just very small amounts of money, anywhere between $5,000 to usually $15,000, to make sure that youth in our community have other outlets to participate. So we have, you know, the community safety program. We have programs at the libraries. We have a STEM program through Concordia College. And every year we release an RFP in November, so it's coming up, and we have a group of volunteers from both Oak Park and River Forest who make the determinations on who's going to get funded and how much funding. This year, we're also going to be working with our Senior Services Committee to do an intergenerational grant. Hopefully, we'll get a program to apply and have a really cool intergenerational program. We also offer a financial aid scholarship, so this is for any extracurricular activities. We will not pay school fees. I want to make that very clear. It's for extracurricular. So think sports, arts, music, theater, summer camp. Absolutely. We will pay for after school care if needed. Field trips. For example, we'll work with the school districts on eighth grade trips. If students cannot afford to go, we can help provide some of that money. So it's only $300 per student or $600 per family, but every single year you can reuse the scholarship again. That's just one time per year. You can use that $300 or $600. The big thing with the scholarships is to receive it, you have to turn in your program registration because we pay the programs directly. Most of the programs in Oak Park and River Forest who utilize this know the drill, they know the application, they know what to do, they will not steer you wrong. You can also register for the program and we are good for the money, and most of those programs know that as well, so nobody has to worry about their kid not being able to participate. And finally, our probably biggest event and our most fun event, the event that all of my staff look forward to every single year, is our annual school supply drive and back to school social. So for the past six summers, we have started a school supply drive in May through August, where we collect school supplies and we stuff backpacks. This past year, we handed out, 291. This past year, we handed out 291 backpacks. At our event, we had 23 community partners who tabled and gave away giveaways, and they had games and things for the kids to participate in. We had a DJ, we had face painters, we had huge raffle tickets, we had Chicago Fire tickets, we had a field museum package. And it's really just a huge fun event for all of the kids and the families in the two communities to get together. You get school supplies in a backpack, and I'm talking about like real backpacks. We get like Adidas backpacks and Nike backpacks and JanSport, good quality backpacks. And it's just a fun time to celebrate the beginning of school. We want to make sure that each kid can start school off right. And part of that is making sure that you're prepared. And again, it's the best event of the year and the one that my staff looks the most forward to. So I think that's about it.
Anything you can share, maybe a question. Any success stories or trends or outreach that really you can help in the Park River Forest community right now, whether it's new or it's just an up level of service that you provide?
Yeah, so I mean, we have a ton of success stories. I think some of our most favorite success stories is the kids who are just going through, you know, that crisis. Like something happened that's just completely and totally out of their control. Them learning that it's okay to have help, to ask for help, and that there's adults in the community who care about them And then really what's unique about our programs is our collaboration. So it's not just our staff that they're making those connections with, but really like working hard to make those connections and showing them who at the schools they can trust, who at the police department they can trust, who at the park district or the library that they can go to if they need some help. We're definitely seeing an uptick in services. So every single year we have more and more kids on our caseload. Right now, in October of last year, we only had 30 kids who have been referred to the program. This year, we already have surpassed 60 referrals. So that's over double. You know, last year, we saw 95 kids for individual counseling services, but we had 104 referrals for the total year. So every single time a referral comes in, we touch that family and that parent. The kid might not be appropriate for our services, and we're going to get them to the right place. We're never going to leave someone hanging. We're never not going to call back. You know, Officer Drake emailed me today, and I think I responded within 10 minutes saying we'll follow up with the family tomorrow. And that's what we want to do.
Megan, thank you so much for coming in and sharing all that. We do work very closely with River Forest Oak Park Township for any of those referrals, whether it's senior services or youth and family services, and we really appreciate them and appreciate you coming in. We are now going to hear from Tracy Patton. She is the owner of Once Upon Some Messy Fun, and we are going to switch over because she is on Zoom.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me? Megan, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Tracy Patton. I'm an early childhood consultant. My company is called Once Upon Some Messy Fun. I have been a infant and toddler teacher for about 19 years in local childcare centers. And then for the last almost 10 years, I've been a home visiting manager or supervisor for programs like the Children's Center of Cicero Berwyn, partnering with parents in Oak Park. I've done workshops for years with the Collaboration for Early Childhood, which serves Oak Park and River Forest. And so I met Megan at a community meeting last month, and I was happy to accept her invitation to speak. I am a child development specialist. I focus mainly on 0 to 3, 0 to 5. Parenting is really hard. And when you have your first child, they don't come with manuals. So parents don't know when a child should typically be developing and have 10 words, 50 words, when to be concerned. And so one of the things that I do is parent workshops. I lead early childhood staff from centers and organizations to build their professional development. And it's what I love to do most. I just got back from San Diego. I was speaking at a national Parents as Teachers conference, and that was a lot of fun. I also do developmentally appropriate birthday parties for kids up to age 8 or 10 because all learning comes in the form of play. If you've ever had children that come home from school and they're just not absorbing things because they're just sitting and listening all day, right? When we're interactive with our kids, they learn while they play. And so that is kind of my mantra. One of the big things that we're working on right now, and most of my sessions are on social emotional development. And that's really important because when children don't know how to calm themselves or when they don't have the ability to manage their emotions, that's when you see those extreme behaviors, meltdowns, tantrums. Sometimes we see them in adults that don't have that ability to calm themselves or understand big feelings. And so I use tools like mindfulness, breathing techniques, sensory activities to help families manage those big emotions. There's not a single parent alive that hasn't had a toddler in a shopping cart in a store during that bewitching hour of dinner time, and you're trying to get through the checkout, and all the candy is on the side of those aisles for a reason. You know, there are tools and there are tricks to managing that behavior before it happens. So I'm going to throw a couple of tools in the chat, and I'm going to share my screen if I can. So just as an example, let's see. Can you guys see that?
Yes, we can.
Awesome. So this is something I use in workshops. I'll have red tablecloths and yellow tablecloths, green and blue. And we'll talk about activities that you can do with a child during any of those feelings. For those of you that have kids that have seen the movie Inside Out, right? All of those feelings can be represented in a lot of those colors. And so we read books. There's a book called Mommy Has Feelings Too. There are activities to do with like big activities or big feelings. So angry is usually big feeling, activities. So, at the session that I just led in San Diego, we had big bubble wrap and we taped it to the floor and we stomped on it. We had tissue paper that we could rip and we could crunch up and throw at each other safely. We talk about how all feelings are valid and how you're entitled to have all of your feelings, but how you express them has limits. So for anger, let's say, you can be as angry as you want and you can hit safe things and you can rip safe things, but you may not destroy property. You may not hurt yourself and you may not hurt others. And so when we set boundaries, then there are expectations of providing safe activities to do for those feelings. So for instance, yellow activities might be a mindfulness activity. Green feelings might be blowing bubbles or coloring. So it's different for every child. I'm going to stop sharing my screen. I can put this in the chat so you can have it. Another example would be building feeling vocabularies. So if a child, you can't say use your words to a child if the child doesn't have the words to use. And so one of the things that we like to do is create activities that allow children to learn what that is. So it might be people watching when you're at the playground and trying to identify the feelings on other people's faces. It might be making different feeling faces in a mirror, so a child can understand what they look like or what you look like when you're angry or you're sad or you're happy. And so this is just a little bit of what I do. The other part of what I do is sensory play. I love to make slime and doughs and clean mud and all kinds of cool sensory things. You might know a child that doesn't like sensory play. And part of my job is to explain all children, all human beings are sensory beings. And if a child doesn't like the sensory you're offering, or the teacher might say, you know, he just won't finger paint, or he won't touch this material. My daughter wouldn't touch crayons unless they had the paper still on them because she didn't like the feel of the wax. We have to find the right sensory. And so there are ways to adapt activities for children that are sensory averse or aren't interested in touching a specific material, like finger painting. Lots of kids don't want to finger paint. They don't want to get dirty. They won't touch it. But you could put the paint on a piece of paper or a paper plate, stick it in a Ziploc bag and close it, and then they can finger paint without the mess. A lot of parents prefer that also because it doesn't make a mess at home. So in my birthday parties, I try to do that also. We'll make bubble pipes, or we will make, or we'll paint, or we'll make sidewalk chalk or slime. And then the other thing that I do that I haven't mentioned is, I'm a grief facilitator for an organization called Buddy's Place, which provides grief services for children 4 to 18. And, a lot of adults don't realize that children grieve very differently than we do. They may not know what that looks like. And so Buddy's Place provides activities for grief work that children can use in their process, in their journey. So that is through Buddy's Place through Pillars. And it is a wonderful program. I've been with them for about 10 years as a facilitator, and I was with them 5 years as a client for my own kids. And so that's me in a nutshell. I'm going to put my contact information in the chat. And does anybody have any questions?
Tracy, thank you. I don't think we have any on Zoom at this point in time.
So I'll put my stuff in the chat and feel free to reach out anytime. Thanks for the opportunity. Right.
Thank you very much for speaking tonight. Bye, Tracy. We're going to pull up another PowerPoint here in a moment, but I just wanted to start. We're going to go over just some of the River Forest Police Department's free services that we offer here. I know we've talked about them before. We have the emergency ID bracelet program, which we still get applicants for that all the time. It's proven in the last few months to be very useful on a handful of calls. We have our frontline portal, which you can find on the Village of River Forest website, which includes overnight parking. You can input vacation watch requests. And then we have the key holder portal, which is for businesses and residents, where you can put in information just so that way. That way we have your emergency contact information on file in the event that we need it for something. We also have on Frontline now, this needs to be updated. We just added the bicycle registration portal. So you can go on there and put in all of your bicycle information so that way it gets registered with the Village of River Forest, which is super beneficial if it's lost, stolen, or found. Once you do that, we do issue you a River Forest bicycle sticker, which we will deliver to your residence. We have residential security surveys. We still have plenty of Hyundai and Kia steering wheel locks. We offer child safety seat inspections in conjunction with the fire department. We just had an event for that at the end of September, but we do offer those all the time. River Forest Community Safety, as Megan Trapicano was mentioning earlier, that was previously iSearch. We just rebranded the name so that way it's a little more encompassing about all of the different things that we discuss. That's through schools throughout River Forest, grades as early as pre-K all the way up to eighth grade. We also have Too Good for Drugs, which is a version of a DARE-like program, and that's for fifth grade classes. All right, so some upcoming events. The National Prescription Drug Take Back Day is Saturday, October 26th. This is running from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can safely dispose of unused, expired, or unwanted prescription medications and over-the-counter medications at the River Forest Police Department. We do have a drop box in the lower level of Village Hall that will be open on Saturday. But if you can't make it on Saturday for the actual event, you can come anytime Monday through Friday during business hours. Just please remember, it's not wise and it's unsafe to throw out, flush, or leave unused prescription medications in your cabinet. So while you have the opportunity, clean out your cabinets and feel free to dump them here. Next, Halloween's coming up. So trick-or-treating in the village is going to be on Halloween Thursday, October 31st. That's taking place from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. I know Chief O'Shea mentioned earlier, we do have... these are pretty heavy-duty trick-or-treating bags for kids, adults, whoever wants them. They have some safety tips on the back here. And then we also have, these are lights that we can use just so children are more visible. They light up. And so we, I don't know if you can see it from all the way over there, but you can attach their clothes to their bags just so they're more visible to cars as they're walking around trying to get their candy. Try and keep in mind or remind your children just to be very cautious while they're walking around. try to stay on the sidewalks, cross at corners and crosswalks, and then pay attention as you're crossing driveways, making sure that cars aren't pulling in or backing out. And on the other hand, those of you that are driving, please just keep in mind the increased pedestrian traffic during that time. We wanted to discuss holiday shopping safety as the holidays are coming up. I know if anyone's like me, you're last minute and you'll go out and run around and try to find a bunch of different gifts for people. So if you are, well, if you're shopping on websites, make sure that they're secure websites. You can see that little lockbox in the URL box at the top showing you that it's a secure website. Use strong passwords as you're creating accounts for these online shopping profiles or stores, whichever you're using. Beware of phishing scams that you can get via email. This would be clicking on a link or opening an attachment. Pay attention to that email address. Usually if it's a scam, if it's phishing, it's not going to be. It might be presenting itself as a specific business or company. Look at the spelling. You might be able to tell that it's not. Monitor your financial accounts. Just keep an eye on those. If you're shopping in person at stores, be aware of your surroundings as you're walking to and from your car. Keep any of your valuables hidden while you're in the store. If you have a purse, don't set it in your shopping cart and then turn around. It takes people 3 seconds to be able to pick something out of there or grab the purse in general. So just try to be cautious of what you're doing with your valuables, your wallets, your handbags. Shop during busy times if you're going at night, and just park your car in a well-lit parking spot and try to remember where you parked it so you're not spending a lot of time in the dark parking lot wandering around with bags of anything, valuables, gifts. And then please don't travel with large amounts of cash on you. We wanted to touch also on frauds and scams, and I'll talk briefly about each and then kind of highlight what we're seeing a decent amount of. I believe Detective Sergeant Labriola is going to touch on that a little later as well. Imposter scams, people call and they'll be pretending to be from various utility companies. We have seen recently people calling and acting as if they are FBI agents or agents of other sorts, telling people that their money was used illegally and that they need to safekeep it for them, convincing these people to send them large amounts of money and or deliver large amounts of money to them, as well as purchase gift cards. We've had cases of people purchasing gift cards upwards of $40,000. So if it's an unsolicited phone call that you're not expecting, if it's an unknown number, don't answer it. If it's something important or you need to call them back, they will leave you a voicemail. Don't share your personal or financial information over the phone. If you are reaching out to your bank or your financial institution because you need to find out information, that is one thing, but make sure that they are not asking you when they call you. A lot of these people can spoof their numbers where the phone number shows up appearing as if it's from, could be the village of River Forest, and really they're just using a program that allows it to show up on the caller ID that way. So if you're ever unsure, just hang up, look up that number from a verified source and call it back. Email scams, we talked about phishing earlier. Don't click on links or open attachments if you don't know the sender. Pay attention to that email address, how it's spelled. Do not share your personal or financial information. They will not reach out to you. Your banks will not reach out to you to ask for that information via email, okay? Grandparent scams, this is when people will call and pretend to be a grandchild or a friend of a grandchild that's in trouble, needs money, they're in jail, or they are out of the country and they're trying to get back home safely. Resist the urge to act immediately. These people do prey on your fear, and they want you to think that you don't have time to do any sort of investigation or take the time to verify that that's who's talking. Hang up, call that grandson, granddaughter, call your son or daughter, make sure that person's safe, that they really aren't stuck in, I don't know, Europe, and they need a way back, although that might not be bad. Home repair fraud. Don't allow unsolicited work on the spot if people come to your home and are saying, oh, we noticed this, we can fix this for you right away, it'll only be this much money. The village has a list of pre-approved vendors on their website, vendors that already have permits. Look through those, select one from that list. If you're not sure, tell them that they can come back or ask for a business card. And what can you do with any of these different things? Report it. Like I said, these people like to prey on the fact that you think you don't have time. Everything's urgent and they need you to send that money now or this will happen. Take a deep breath, hang up the phone, feel free to call us. We would rather you call so we can look into it for you before you are sending them money, gift cards, and other assets, okay? We also will refer you to the different agencies such as the Attorney General's Office, IRS, and then the FTC Consumer Fraud Line. Okay, there are many more that we can help refer you to. But like I said, when in doubt, please call us. We're happy to help. And that's all I had, so I will turn it over to Detective Sergeant Labriola.
Thank you, Megan. I think you probably covered most of the things I was going to talk about. You did mention Halloween. I want everyone to know that we are going to have extra personnel during those hours of Halloween. Also remember the fact is that it is getting darker earlier and earlier. So although trick-or-treating does go until 7 o'clock, it's starting to get dark a little after 6 p.m. now. So be careful for that last hour that children are allowed to trick-or-treat, but we all know that a lot of times they're out trick-or-treating until 8 or 9 o'clock ringing doorbells. You did talk about the scams. We have had a couple of them recently. Unfortunately, it seems to be that they prey on elderly people. So again, Megan, you did mention, call us, feel free, contact us. We'll point you in the right direction. We'll make sure that those are, legitimate people, but for the most part, the IRS or any other form of federal agency is not going to be asking you for money. One thing we have noticed a little bit lately, please remind your children to lock up their bicycles when they are at school, either that be Lincoln, Roosevelt, or Willard. We know it's still nice out right now. Some of the kids, fortunately, are able to still ride their bikes to school because of the warm weather that we have. We don't want their bicycles going missing if they happen to leave them overnight or even during the day without some sort of lock on it. Again, this is the holiday season that's rapidly approaching. Megan did mention that, which means we are going to all be getting a plethora of packages from Amazon, UPS, FedEx. Monitor your packages if you're going to be out of town for an extended period of time. See if a relative, neighbor, or somebody could pick up the package. We also suggest some sort of security that you have at your residence, either that be a Ring camera, ADT, some private company. For your surveillance Nest, there's multiple options out there, but that has helped us tremendously, especially over the last couple of years, identify offenders in certain cases, either that be package thefts or any other offenses that occur at people's houses. We've utilized that and some of our license plate readers and some of our cameras that we have. So definitely the increase in technology throughout the village, both publicly and privately, has definitely helped us solve many crimes over the last couple of years. So I do suggest that. And then lastly, I know people do vacation frequently over the holidays. So don't be afraid again to use our portal to make sure that you notify us that you're going to be out of town. That gives us an opportunity to make extra passes by your house, make sure that things are where they're supposed to be. Also, if the unfortunate need for an emergency, either that being criminal, pipe breaks at your house, we have the ability to notify you though too of any sort of emergency or any sort of unforeseen circumstances, and we'd be able to help you out and get a hold of you. And that is it, unless anybody in the audience, either in person or via Zoom, has any questions. You have a question in person. Sure. Anything specifically that you'd like, if people out in the audience weren't able to hear someone in person, please, why don't you?
First of all, I didn't know about these meetings. They're wonderful, the programs that are offered. I've lived in the village 68 years, so I've been through many police people that I know of, and this is wonderful programs that you're doing, and I wish that more residents were aware of it and that we could get the word out. I just learned about this meeting tonight today via River Forest website. So I'm hoping that the village and the police department and the park district can work better together to have maybe just a single email or community information that all the residents can find out about this and partake in it. So I think these are wonderful programs. I'm going to go back and let some of my neighbors and the village residents know. My one concern is the village crime logs. The last one was posted was for August, so that was 52 days ago. Nothing has been posted for September, and I happen to be one of the residents that did a 911 call, and I appreciate the response. The police department arrived quickly. My incident happened at 1 a.m. in my alley, and the following week, there were two more incidences where a garage was broken into. Mine was individuals that were peering in and trying to get into vehicles that were parked in the alley. My neighbors, a couple of days ago after that, had their garage broken into, and another friend had their vehicle broken into, all within a week. Nothing has been posted for September, and that's been 52 days. What I would like is what we had years ago, and not everybody gets print anymore. When we had the Oak Leaves, the Forest Leaves, we had a weekly police report for Oak Park River Forest. Some of the other villages have this thing called Patch. My kids live in Elmhurst. They have a daily Patch report that they can log on to. I would like to see more River Forest Patch or weekly information on what is going on in the village so that we as residents can be aware, not to be frightened, but to be able to help the police, which is what I think that I did by calling 911. I don't want to be accusing anybody of anything, but I don't want to be lax in not reporting something. So if we're aware that these things are going on, particularly those three things that I mentioned, within a week's time, other individuals would know and be able to look out for that. So possibly if the village could sign up, village residents could sign up for a weekly email update on crime if we can't do a patch. But that would be one of the things that I would like to see. And the last thing I wanted to mention was solicitors, which you had said there's a list on the village website, which there is. We've recently seen and had many solicitors over the course of the years that we've lived here. We have the no solicitor sign. I'm fine with it if I see their badge that they're registered with the village, but many residents, many of the solicitors are not. I don't know if they're really going around seeing if people are home, if they're scoping out, you know, homes to break into, but if they're not registered with the village, I think that residents should call the police and report it. The ones that are registered, I looked on the site and there was only like two, and they expired. So it doesn't seem there should be any solicitors that are going around now. So wondering what we can do about that.
So first of all, thank you for sharing that this evening. Your reminder about the last summary of incidents gave a great reminder to Luke over here to post the September ones, and they are now active on there. Years ago, we went from a weekly or bi-monthly approach to these. We were sending these over to some of the local media. We would send over a list of maybe 20, 30 incidents, and they would post two or three in the paper due to the amount of room. Residents didn't like that and felt they weren't hearing about calls they knew that happened on their block. So what we did is we started posting them every few weeks, and that eventually went to once a month. You also have the ability to sign up for alerts and notifications on the village website. And not only a lot of the stuff you see now is posted not only on the village website, but there's individual posts coming from the social media pages of the Village of River Forest. Hopefully you're signed up for those at a time. We're working with some of our new CAD system and record system through dispatch and also the village's IT crew. We hope eventually to have an interactive map where you'll be able to rove up and it will automatically update, and you'll be able to hover over a symbol on that map and see, okay, there was a burglary here. There was a retail theft. There was bike theft. So that is in the works and trying to find a way to deliver that information quicker. So the digital media platform and also the hard copy media platform was not meeting the needs at all of the community. And there was a lot of input and work being put in by officers and other village staff, which was not reflected in those other media sources. So we'll continue to work on that for you, and we'll continue to update that. And as you know, some of the different social media groups, neighborhood groups within the community usually share a lot of information also. So there's different ways we can get the information out there. And once again, if you hear something or you're not sure if something went on, we're just a call away. Or you just ask for a supervisor to come by your house. We'll be more than glad to update you on something. And that's 24 hours a day. You can't sleep. It's 3 a.m. Call us up. We'll come by and chat a little bit with you. So these are things we are working on. As far as the solicitors, it's always been a challenge because in a lot of the communities, the solicitors run wild. A lot of times they don't pay attention to the no solicitation signs. We're actually looking to update ours, make them a little larger, make them a little bolder in color. But anytime someone's coming to your door, whether they have a badge or whether they say they're registered with the village, feel free, please, to call the non-emergency number and we'll come out and make sure they have the proper credentials and they're not there for any type of nefarious reasons or heavy-handed sales tactics. And you touched on one other issue. If it was solicitors, the crime reporting.
Here, say I want the official police report on a timely matter, not even, you know, 52 days, not even 30 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what we can do is continue. This is through focus groups, through our residents here that said this is the way they wanted to receive it. And once again, we're working on a way where it'd be updated automatically, not just daily, but hourly when a call comes out. But once again, you're not going to get the full details of an incident. And Detective Sergeant Labriola can share with you when a call comes out and an incident occurs, it might be 4 or 5 days before the official police report has been reviewed through 3 levels of the department. There could be an ongoing investigation going on. But as far as alerts with regard to burglaries or home invasions, carjackings, those are always immediately put out within hours of those occurring within the village. Other incidents such as traffic arrests, retail thefts at the Jewel, those occur daily. And they don't seem to be of interest to the members of the community based on experience. But I think we're going to work on that and get that there, whether a weekly, as you know, we don't really have the patch here in River Forest, like Elmhurst, like LaGrange. The Doings is another paper that's still floating around out there. But really working through the social media, and the village does have a communications consultant also, and they're working on it. So this is a work in progress on how to deliver that news. But at the same time, I think you made a good point. We don't want to scare the residents. We have with social media sometimes where residents are taking a photo of a four-car accident with injuries or someone being arrested. And sometimes there's not even a police officer there yet. There's not fire personnel yet, or it's just one police officer trying to mitigate that till assistance comes. So the information flows very quickly. Like you said, a lot of times that misinformation goes out. And I think there's concern amongst realtors, business owners, and residents that if all we're putting out there is negativity and stuff that makes the community look in a way that really doesn't present the daily life in River Forest, they've expressed concerns about that. But I think with your ideas, I think we can continue to have those discussions and see where a good number of the residents would like to see this reporting. But it is in the works to improve this, and we will arrive there.
Because, you know, the telephone lines, how things get on a portion. So I'd like, you know, the facts printed and sent out via email or via the website, you know, on a weekly basis, possibly.
We could always consider that. I hate to tell you, you're the first one to really ask for that. So we really got to get a gauge of what we can do.
So,
right. You're here, but... Sure. You know, these meetings, we've been doing these for several years, and we've had packed rooms. We've had times where it's out in the hallways. But the community has kind of made it clear that I'm really, unless there's critical incidents going on or they don't feel safe, they don't necessarily show to the meetings. A lot of times we notice Luke will check the viewer log after the fact because these get posted online. And we'll get a lot of views after the fact. But really, unless there's a hot button issues that's occurred in town, a homicide, a serious carjacking. Right. Well, that's why we're here, because we make sure it doesn't get to that point. Right.
But from your jobs, I think the residents have to be aware of this is a possibility of things that have been going on, not only in Forest Park, but it could, you know, come into River Forest or anything.
And it's interesting that you say that, because we have residents that have made it very clear, unless it's something that really they feel is going to affect River Forest, they know that there's a lot of crime in our bordering communities. I'm not going to single one out. A lot of times those crime, they don't want to have their stress level, their anxiety brought to something that they have no control over because how those towns are managed or the leadership in those communities aren't maybe addressing those issues. But once again, we will continue to work towards getting that information out quicker, utilizing social media, utilizing the new CAD and RMS systems that will hopefully automatically transfer this information. But please, if you are not signed up for alerts or on the different... Sure. It's if you go to the village webpage, Luke, can you walk her through where that is on the village webpage?
So if you just were to type in Village of River Forest or VRF.us on Google, it comes up, and in the top right along the blue banner, there is a get news and alerts button, and there you will be signed up and for various email alerts, and that's where we also send our weekly newsletter, which I would really encourage you to sign up for as well. And it's about... They are not.
So that's what I'm looking for, is a more up-to-date activity of reality that's happening in the village. For safety purposes.
Well, you know what? I think we discussed the things we are doing to try to improve that. And a lot of that is connected to the current technology we have that's eventually being phased out as far as with regard to legacy software and other programs. And we'd love to utilize the media again. The issue is, once again, we'd report on 20 events and they would post 3, which doesn't really equal to the work that's put into that work product itself to get out to the public. And just some of the other issues we've mentioned were... what's important to someone, one person is not important to someone else, and they feel we're intentionally stressing or bringing anxiety to the residents by reporting certain things. Others, they love as much. They'd love if there was maybe more drama or excitement on the streets in River Forest. But for the most part, you moved to River Forest some 60 or 30 some years ago because that's not how River Forest is. It's a safe community, and we provide that safe environment. And we are the safest and the quickest response time of any community around us. Sure. Well, I understand and appreciate your concerns. Thank you. Any other questions? We do have a latecomer in the audience tonight. We always hope. That's okay. It will be online and reshown. Luke posts it on the village website for viewing. We had two guest speakers tonight, and we just went over some of the crime prevention programs and also some of the crime trends that were occurring. Anything specific that you came here tonight? I know every once in a while you do have an excellent question you'd like to throw out there.
Was a fellow that was riding a bike up and down the street between the houses. He ended up seeing her. The bike laid down on her grass. And she kept saying, "I want to show you something on my cell phone." She's like, "Oh, step back. He kept approaching her. "I got to show you some paperwork, leave it on my front porch. I'm not interested." So, it rattled her. I think she's got street smart, because what she did was she turned around behind her and said, "Bruce, I'm going to take care of watering your lawn." And with that, it was just enough to rattle the guy that he turned around and got out of the way.
Do you know if she called 911? Okay. And we'd always encourage everyone to, if you're not even sure about, should I call the emergency number or the non-emergency number? Just use the three digits, 911. The dispatchers don't get mad at you. And once again, we'll be there in a matter of a minute or two. I'm glad she's okay. And
Sure.
I'm going to give you my card because I don't have any voicemail. So I'll also make sure you can pass that on to her. Maybe she does.
So one thing that Megan's able to do is when we have an issue like that occurs in the village where there's a suspicious person, whether they're trying to solicit, but whether they're there for nefarious reasons, whether they're in mental health crisis, please call us so we can get them the right services. And also Megan offers what's called security surveys. So she'll come to your house, she'll look at what type of lighting you have, what type of alarm system you have. She'll look at what type of locks you have on your doors, your gates. Is it time to trim maybe some areas of some shrubs or some low-hanging trees to increase visibility? There's a lot of residents that have taken advantage of that and been real happy because they didn't have to pay a professional security consultant to come out and tell them the same thing. We don't recommend any specific providers. Everyone kind of knows what the big two or three that are out there. But we really love when people have their porch lights on, beautiful landscape lighting, solar lighting, additional lighting if they have an alley over their garage, and also lighting that illuminates over each one of the doors of their home, plus security cameras. The residents that have installed security cameras or something as simple as Ring cameras, Detective Sergeant Labriola can probably tell you dozens upon dozens of times those have solved cases for us. And so please, technology is our friend here in the village, and we have a lot of it, whether they're license plate readers, street cameras, private partnerships, private public partnerships. We also have access through the schools and other organizations in town that share their cameras with us just as a force multiplier. Within the village. Any questions that have come in, Luke, on Zoom at all? Sure, please. Sure, there was a one of our license plate readers hit on a vehicle that was wanted for multiple burglaries to autos, and it was spotted coming into the community via a piece of technology, which then is followed up by officers real time on the street who were able to locate that vehicle, take that wanted subject into custody, and tow and impound the vehicle. And they'll be working on those reports still for the next 3 days. but no, that is what occurred. And, you know, the residents are always, you know, if they have a question, they're wondering what's going on, when it's a safe time to do so. There's always supervisors at a scene like that. They usually are wearing white shirts or they have dark blue shirts, but they have some additional patching or emblems on them to identify them as a corporal or as an officer in charge. So that's a success story for today. Well, we could look at that as the good and the bad at the same time. But no, thank you. I do understand your concerns, and we're always working to improve that. We wish there was just one magic button and it would flow from the dispatch center onto the village website. And I think we're pretty close eventually with some changes coming up to getting there. I'm not saying tomorrow or within the next 90 days, but we're working in the right direction to improve that. And if we don't have any other questions that are coming in, yes, sir.
Is there like micro strength maker? There is some kind of education for the kids?
Sure, Megan. Do you want to come and explain some of the programs just related to our youth that we're involved in?
Just because the incident that I rescued my brother, kids.
Yeah, so we have, it was previously iSearch, it's now called River Forest Community Safety, but it's the townships involved, the River Forest Police Department, and then we go into all of the different schools. We give large presentations for K through 2 and then the third and fourth grade. We do it by kind of age group. That's what we do in the fall regarding safety, things such as that. And it's tailored towards each age group. So obviously things that we talk about with the kindergartners are a little more leveled down than they are once we get up to the eighth graders and talk about different things. In the springtime, we go in and we have individual classroom presentations for those different grades. We do the even grades, so kindergarten, second, fourth, sixth, and eighth. So that way, every other year, as these kids are going through school, they do get those presentations tailored to whatever age group they are in at that time. Fifth grade, we have Too Good for Drugs, which it's more about personal safety, making good choices, starting good habits, and it kind of builds from there into us talking about drugs, alcohol, and other things such as that. So that's fifth grade specifically. So we hit all of them for the group presentations, every other for the individual classroom presentations, and then all of fifth grade for that specifically. So they see us a lot, which is good. Yeah, it's fun. It's good. All right, are there any other questions? I want to make sure we get everyone before we wrap it up. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. We really appreciate you coming. I know it's late, but any questions, my contact info might be on one of the last slides. So it'll be posted whenever our deputy clerk is able to get that presentation up online. Feel free to reach out to me with any questions. And again, thank you very much for coming, whether in person or via Zoom. We appreciate it.